Welcome to Lifelines on KISL with your host, Sue Shelton, a.k.a. The Live Aboard. You are listening to KISL Avalon 88.7 Island Radio. Today we have some surprise guests in the studio. We have Norm and Charlene, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves. They're boaters coming from over town. Hey, Norm and Charlene, can you hear me?
Yes. Sure.
I can't look at them because they're behind me, but maybe they can tell us what kind of boat they came in on and how long they have been coming to Avalon and where they came from.
My name is Norm Perrin. I own a Catalina 42, berth in Marina Del Rey. I've owned the boat for 16 years. I've been coming to Catalina, let's see, probably about almost 35 years, probably 33, 34 years, something like that. Avalon's one of our big destinations. We like to come here. We like to go to Two Harbor also, Isthmus and Cat Harbor. But when we get a chance to come to Avalon, we came over yesterday and really enjoying the beautiful weather right now. And here's my wife, Charlene.
Hi, I'm Charlene Perrin. I'm Commodore at Santa Monica Wind Jimmy's Yacht Club on Mindanao Way in Marina Del Rey. We're the big two-story building adjacent to Chase Park. And Norman, I love to come to Avalon, especially because it's so quaint, and we love sitting on our mooring out there and just looking at the houses on the hillside, pretending like we're in some country in Europe. It's just wonderful.
You are
to be here.
It's the island of, it's the country of Catalina.
It's beautiful. We love it here.
And I got to spend some time in Marina Del Rey and actually went to the yacht club and got served sloppy joes by Charlene. And before I knew she was Commodore.
Yes, we host WSA and a couple of other nautical organizations at our club.
And I also got to be there for opening day, which the cannons really made my dog berserk, all four shots.
That's funny. Yes, we have a good opening day.
It was very pretty. And how long do you get to stay here?
We're here now until Tuesday, actually Wednesday, and then we're going over the Isthmus. The Catalina Rendezvous is an annual event at the Isthmus where the Catalina factory invites all of their owners to come to the island, and they give us a big feast, and we have a big party and dancing and all that.
I am new to the island. What is the Catalina factory?
The Catalina yacht factory that makes the Catalina brand of boats.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and all the Catalina owners from, I don't know, 22 feet all the way to 47 feet.
Well, actually, as far as, they even have, the Sabots now. They bought out the moles for the Sydney Sabot. So they make Sabots all the way to, they made 50-footers at one point in time. I think 47 foot is probably their longest boat.
Right. People come from San Diego and Santa Barbara, and some from San Francisco, actually.
Well, I want somebody who's got a Lindsay to come and have a party with me. I've only seen one other one. It was, I have hull number 6, and she had hull number 9.
Wow. Is that an East Coast manufacturer?
No, it's Santa Ana.
Oh, that's right. Norm was telling me, the old Capital Yachts.
Yeah, well, they sold in 67, they built my boat, and then in 68, they sold the Capital. So yeah.
When it was Capital, we had a Newport 27.
Right, so that it's a Newport grandma.
Cool. Very cool.
And what's your favorite thing to do while you're in Avalon?
Basically, I just sit on the boat and read. Just relax and read and complain when the sun gets too hot.
Well, it's pretty muggy out there today, I notice.
It is. Nice. Well, the sun started early today, though. Yesterday it took a long time to come out.
That's true. It just came right up this morning with the coffee.
It did.
Great.
It did.
And do you have any advice for people coming over on the water? Was it a pretty smooth?
Yes, we leave the island pretty early because we like to just get here. So we don't sail over. We just motor over. But it was pretty flat. It was quick.
How long did it take you?
Actually, we came from San Pedro this time. We usually come from Marina Del Rey. It takes us about, 5 hours?
Yeah, probably closer to 6 hours from Marina Del Rey. It's like about 38 miles or something like that from Marina Del Rey.
It took me 5 hours and I sailed.
Wow. Yeah. Well, sometimes that can be faster.
Yes, it sometimes depends on the weather.
Yeah, see, to me, the big issue is getting a good mooring or getting a mooring. You know, essentially, every time we come here, we have to go over to Descanso, and I really don't like Descanso that much. I mean, I'll put up with it.
It's rolly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So our goal, I mean, this is a big long-term plan, you know, because our goal is to go to the Isthmus, but we figured let's leave it like a week early and go to San Pedro. Mm-hmm. And so we went to Los Angeles Yacht Club there. And then came over really early in the morning, so we were here like 10 o'clock yesterday morning, and there's nobody in line for us to get a mooring assignment. And then they put us right smack in the harbor, and no Descanso this time.
Well, there was a whole week of completely full up, so you missed the biggest, baddest part of the season.
And it was all planned that way.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. And would you like to give a shout-out to anybody at home?
Well, I'd like to say hi to the Catalina Fleet. They're coming over to the rendezvous middle of this week, so we'll see them all there. And thank you for letting us have a few words on the air. We appreciate it. And one last thing I'd like to say, congratulations to Ron Orr for coming in third place in his class to the Marina Del Rey to San Diego race.
Woohoo! Congratulations.
Thanks.
Thank you, Norm and Charlene, and we'll see you out on the water.
Okay, sounds
thank
great.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, so now we're going to go back to original programming, which I believe is going to be a trick, since I'm going to go back to our If I Had a Boat theme, as that is my comfort zone. And if I had okay, I'm regrouped. this hour is about critters on boats, pets on boats, and I love critters. I was not allowed to have pets as a kid. Well, not anything larger than a newt. So as soon as I moved out on my own, I had cats. Cats are easier than dogs when you have to rent an apartment. Plus, they entertain themselves while you're at work. But it was not until I moved onto a boat, which was my own home, and quit my 9-to-5 admin job, that it became possible to get my first dog. That'd be Austin. Austin is a terrier mixed with what I believe is a Taiwanese dingo, the wild dingo of Taiwan, I call him. I got him through a rescue service. He was on the put-to-sleep list because no one had called on him for the 8 months he had been in the circuit. They thought he was a tall chihuahua. No way is Austin a tall chihuahua. He's a completely different conformation. So today we're looking at pets on boats, and what is the oddest pet that you have ever heard of living on a boat? Call me at 310-510-7469 during the music breaks to tell your story. Or you can email me at seashell, that's C-S-H-E-L, at KISLAvalon.com. In addition, we have part 5 of the Vegetable Oil Fuel Series, the sustainable life strategy I pursued before finding sailboats, an interview with plein air artist Brian Stewart, and iPod head music to distract you from whatever you meant to get accomplished today. All this in the first hour of Lifelines. Stay tuned. This is Dog by Terry Adams.
Thank you.
And that is Dog by Terry Adams of NRBQ. My dingo dog, first mate Austin, took to the boat immediately and curled up in his bed in the cockpit when we sailed down the coast from San Francisco last year. He is a patient sailor dog, and the times he didn't feel so well were truly queasy-making moments. He does not do his business on the boat, which is both a good and a bad thing. Good because he's house-trained, but bad because it means at least two trips a day to shore. When we got to Santa Barbara after an unavoidable 24 hours underway, he peed so long at the dock that people stopped to stare. I originally had a cat on board, a 15-year-old couch potato cat, who wasn't really aware that we were on a boat. She had no desire to go anywhere. I could not imagine having the type of cat on board who would cruise around at night chasing the birds and rumbling with big marine raccoons. That would be scary. A lot of vet bills. I've known people who had ferrets, rats, geckos, and parrots on board. Deliberately. Joshua Slocum briefly had a goat on board. The following is from his book, Sailing Alone Around the World, published in 1900. It was late in the evening before the anchor was up, and I bore off for the west, loath to leave my new friends. Governor Sterndale had given me a bag of coffee in the husk, and Clark, the American, in an evil moment, had put a goat on board to butt the sack and hustle the coffee beans out of the pods. He urged that the animal, besides being useful, would be as companionable as a dog. I soon found that my sailing companion, this sort of dog with horns, had to be tied up entirely. The mistake I made was that I did not chain him to the mast instead of tying him with grass ropes less securely, and this I learned to my cost. Except for the first day, before the beast got his sea legs on, I had no peace of mind. After that, actuated by a spirit born, maybe, of his pasturage, this incarnation of evil threatened to devour everything from flying jib to stern davits. He was the worst irate I met on the whole voyage. He began depredations by eating my chart of the West Indies in the cabin one day while I was about my work forward, thinking that the critter was securely tied on deck by the pumps. Alas, there was not a rope in the sloop proof against that goat's awful teeth. Next, the goat devoured my straw hat, and so then I arrived in port. I had nothing to wear ashore on my head. This last unkind stroke decided his fate. On the 27th of April, the Spray arrived at Ascension, which is garrisoned by a man-of-war crew, and the boatswain of the island came on board. As he stepped out of his boat, the mutinous goat climbed into it and defied boatswain and crew. I hired them to land the wretch at once, which they were only too willing to do, and there he fell into the hands of a most excellent Scotchman, with the chances that he would never get away. I was destined to sail once more into the depths of solitude, but these experiences had no bad effect on me. On the contrary, a spirit of charity and even benevolence grew stronger in my nature through the meditations of these supreme hours on the sea. That is Joshua Slocum, 1900, about his goat on a boat. I still hold that dogs make the best for first mates, even though so many on yachts tend to be hoity-toity little doggy mixes that comedian Paula Poundstone calls designer dogs.
Do you guys have that? Do you have one thing that's going on in Southern California right now is a proliferation, if you will, of little dogs. Do you have the little dog thing happening here? Oh, it's awful. It's scary. It's like something Simon Bar-Sinister would have done from Underdog. We have a pet store down the street from us, and we kind of use it like a zoo. We go there a lot just to look because I can't really afford the snacks at the zoo. But who couldn't afford a dog biscuit or two? I can give that to the kids while we look at the pets. No, we go there a lot and look around, and they have these dogs that they're selling for thousands of dollars, by the way, little dogs that are mixtures of breeds. And I thought a mixture was not something to be heralded in this way. You know, I thought that's what happened when the neighbor's dog got out. I didn't think you sold them for thousands of dollars to people who thought they were precious somehow. And they're dressing them and things. Oh, it's awful. And they don't say, well, it's a mixed breed. They say it's a new breed. Like a, it's a combination of things like a Shih Tzu and a Cockapoo. They're these combinations of. I saw one the other day. It was a Pug-a-Muffin. It was part pug and it had blueberries in it. I saw one. It was a Piddle. It's part pit and part poodle, and it's incontinent. I don't think that should be encouraged.
So that was Paula Poundstone talking about designer dogs. I have been known to dress my dog in hoodies when it's cold and a Hawaiian shirt for parties. But he's got so many different outfits now. It's ridiculous. And they're good as alarm systems, dogs. No one sneaks up on my boat with Austin on watch. Get something like this. Okay, he's not that bad. But sometimes dogs get carried away, and then they have to be sent below, and apologies have to be made to the horrified humans nearby, and so on. Austin takes his guard dog very seriously, the job of guard dog. And he may have a point to make, but the cruel fact is that he doesn't speak English. And so it makes his protest sound like just so much noise.
The sun comes up on a flea bag. Our hero checks in at 4. He's snoring away on a do-rag, but it's dawn and he'll snore no more. There's a cough, a sneeze, a dreadful bark. Some woman yells, "Hush up." The woman is louder than Peppy is, but Peppy will not shut up. With his left foot and jumps on the bed with his right. The woman is screaming at Peppy, and Peppy sounds very uptight.
Peppy, hush, don't make so much noise. Peppy, hush, don't make so much noise.
He falls on the lamp with his face first and fries his nose on the bowl. He scratches his eye on the lamp shade and falls to the floor with a thud.
Peppy, hush. Don't make so much noise. Peppy, hush. Don't make so much noise.
That drove Peppy crazy. Now Peppy knew something was up or down. The guy is completely unconscious, and Peppy's got his ear to the ground. He barked for his mom to protect him. He barked for the clown at the desk. He barked for no good reason. Peppy was doing his best.
Peppy, hush.
Dream he advanced, he'd break that woman's arm. Her owner did not stand a chance, but the dog was the first thing he'd harm. He hung it outside on a power line and laughed as it emitted sparks. But when he regained his consciousness, the first thing he heard was a bark. He said, "Peppy, hush, don't make so much noise. Peppy, hush.
Leo Kottke with Pepe Hush. And dog people understand when there's woofing going on. And dogs are a fine way to meet like-minded dog people, as Cliff Ukulele Ike Edwards knows.
Pardon me, but if I may, I would like to speak to you. Maybe you have noticed too, our dogs have learned to care. You can see it in their eyes, you can hear it in their sighs. Winchell mentioned it today, they are very much that way. My dog loves your dog, and your dog loves my dog. If our doggies love each other, why can't we? My dog's a he-dog, and your dog's a she-dog. I wish you loved me the way that he loves she. Don't they look sweet every time they meet beneath their favorite tree? My big Airedale wags his little tail to tell your terrier he's crazy the merrier. My dog loves your dog, and your dog loves my dog. If our doggies love each other, why can't we? Your dog loves my dog, and my dog loves your dog. If our doggies love each other, why can't we? All night he's whining because he keeps pining to be with her the way I'd like to be with you. I take him out and he runs about to see if she is in sight. By his nose he knows every place she goes. He calls to her, bow, wow, wow, I love you and how, wow, wow. My dog loves your dog, and your dog loves my dog. If our doggies love each other, why can't we? Your dog, my dog. If our doggies love each other, why can't we? Look how she pets him, and look how she lets him play around the way I'd like to play with you. Chows and Pekingese, who have pedigrees, are crazy over my hound. But your little mutt simply got him nuts, and he'd gladly give her his last piece of liver. 'Cause my dog loves your dog, and your dog loves my dog. If our doggies love each other, why can't we?
That's a cute little ditty from Cliff Ukulele Ike Edwards called My Dog Loves Your Dog. I found my dog as a rescue. I like to say he rescued me. He may be the only good online relationship I've ever had. Problem is, he's too cute for his own good. People just want to grab his big soft ears. How rude is that? I would bring him today, you know? I mean, I can't bring him inside the studio. There's no pets inside. And I could put him on the porch, but what's the chance that somebody's going to walk up to him and put yourself in his place? He's 18 pounds to, you know, 150 to 200 pound human. He's tied up. He can't get away. He's backed up into a corner and they're approaching. What are you going to do? You're going to yell. You're going to say, help, help, right? Except for that comes out as ruff, ruff. And then that makes him a bad dog. So I had to tell a tourist not to grab my dog's ears and offer to show him how it feels to have a stranger grab his ears. And the idiot claimed that he would be perfectly fine if I grabbed his ears, but I was very close, but I didn't actually do it because I thought it would have looked bad for somebody on Avalon to be going around grabbing ears. And Austin may have decided I needed protecting at that moment. He can look very fierce when he wants to, and though he does not bite, he can fake you out that he might. Nope, I'm the biter. In fact, I want to get him a t-shirt that says, I bark, she bites. I did get him patches that say, stop, no touch, no eye contact, no talk. It's amazing how few people know how to read. It says he's in training. This is to help the knuckleheads who have never been told that it's rude to assume a strange dog wants you to touch it. So Austin is in the business of educating the public. If they ask what he's in training for, I say, to be your friend. He just needs his fair share of respect, and then he'll get along with everyone. My deal when I got Austin was that he would no longer have to spend 9 hours a day alone while his person is at work. He would keep me out of the dreaded office jobs that suck the life force out of you and make sure that I get daily exercise during our walks. There's an added bonus to having a dog. Walking a dog is a great way to loiter and think when you don't know what to do next. You are still accomplishing something of value when attached by a bit of webbing to a four-legged sniffing and peeing machine. Some people lean against a wall and smoke. I get dragged around on the end of a leash by an 18-pound dog. Speaking of walk the dog, I have
Beck.
Laurie Anderson.
Check two.
Walk the dog.
Three. Four. Well, they were wooden trees, and they were made entirely of wood. I came home today, and you were all on fire. Your shirt was on fire, and your hair was on fire, and flames were licking all around your feet, and I did not know what to do. And then 1,000 violins began to play, and I really did not know what to do then, so I just decided to go out and walk the dog. To the movies, and I saw a dog 30 feet high, and this dog was made entirely of light.
And you're listening to KISL Avalon 88.7 FM Island Radio.
And his eyes were long hallways. He had those long, echoing hallway eyes. Heard a song by Dolly Parton, and she was singing, wow, I feel so bad, I feel so sad, I left my mom and I left my dad, and I just want to go home. I just want to go back to my Tennessee mountain home now. Well, you know she's not going to go back home. And I know she's not going to go back home. And she knows she's never going to go back there. And I just want to know who's going to go and walk her dog. But not as bad as the night I wrote this song.
This Laurie Anderson. And you know, that isn't her real voice. She's got a Vox little thingy that makes her voice sound funny. Austin got cheated out of a walk this morning. I had to go really fast because I had to get over here. He'll get a better one later, but... And I can't bribe him with food. He's not bribable with food. So, he does get happy about supper time, however. And, I have a little bit of supper time music for him.
Stomach clock just went off. It's supper time and Charlie Brown has forgotten to feed
me. It's Snoopy.
Here I lie. A withering, hollow shell of a dog. And there sits my supper dish. But that's all right. He'll remember. When no furry friend comes to greet him after school, then he'll remember and he'll rush out here to the doghouse, but it'll be too late. There'll be nothing left but the dried carcass of the former friend who used to love to run and play so happily with him. Nothing but the bleached puppy bones.
Hey, Snoopy, are you asleep or something? I've been standing here a whole minute with your supper.
Supper time? Supper time? Behold a brimming bowl of meat and meal, which is brought forth to ease our hunger. Behold the flowing flagon, moist and sweet, which has been sent to slake our thirst.
Okay, there's no need for a big production. Just get down off that doghouse and eat.
Supper time, yeah, it's supper time. Oh, it's supper time, very best time of day.
It's supper time,
yeah,
it's supper time. And when supper time comes, can supper be far away? Bring on the soup dish, bring on the cup, bring on the bacon and fill me up.
'Cause it's supper time.
Bye-yadden doo-dow, bye-yadden diddle-o, your supper time.
With the ice and snow.
Summertime's nice with a place to go. A bedtime, overtime, halftime too. But they just can't hold a candle to my supper time. Oh, yeah! Hello, home listeners. How are you? Ring on the hammer. Ring on the bun. Pappy's little puppy loves everything.
give me something to do on that.
Now cut that out! Now why can't you eat your meal quietly and calmly like any other normal dog?
So what's wrong with making mealtime a joyous occasion?
That'd be supper time from You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, Snoopy's Song of Glee. And, you know, it may sound far-fetched, but Austin does his own version of that every day. It's cute. And while I could rattle on forever about how cool my dog is, I now want to talk about how cool my last car was. It's sold now to some surfer dude who is stoked to have a car he can drive for free powered by French fries and tortilla chips. We're up to part 5 of the 6-part Veg Oil as a Fuel series that I produced in 2005 and that aired on a number of public radio stations around the country at that time. If you missed the first 4 parts, you can hear them at the KISL website at kislavalon.com as soon as we put them up, or cynxing.com. Click on the Mercedes icon. The very thin thread of relevance I am tugging on here by playing this bit of tape next is that the island company here in Avalon has been using straight vegetable oil in their tourism vehicles since 2011. If one goes by, sniff the air to see if you can detect what kind of food was cooked in the oil that they are burning. I just saw the brandy new garbage trucks go by, the blue ones, and they have a special place on the back to carry the square boxes called cubies of used vegetable oil. Well, let's see if I can suavely cue up. Ooh, look at that.
Slide some oil to me, or let it slip down my spine. If you don't have a STP, Crisco will be just fine. Slide some oil to me, hit my shoulder blade. All y'all that don't have to lubricate, sure.
Carl Benz kicked off
okay,
the
so that wasn't
of automobiles 120 years ago with the first patented gas-powered vehicle. It has taken an estimated 100,000 additional patents since then to evolve the automobile into the vehicle we know and use today. Vivian Andrus of Kentucky, known to me as Granny, was a driver for 78 years and has spent her life in love with cars. She can't remember much of who was president or what world-shaking events were happening during her youth, but she can remember the boys she dated or married and the cars she drove. Granny learned how to drive a Model T in 1923 and drove a 35-foot motorhome through her 70s. I stopped in to see her on my road trip, and she told me about what those early days of driving were like.
It was really great when the car came along. A girlfriend had taught me how to drive her car. My daddy drove a horse and buggy. When he found out that I could drive a car, he went down and bought a Model T Ford sedan. That's what they called them back in the early 20s. And he told me, he says, the car is yours if you teach me to drive. But we have to plan when I need it or when he needs it. It was a fun thing, and it was unusual, and there were not too many people in our community that had cars.
The first gas pump was invented in 1905. Before the pump, gasoline was purchased by the bucketful. Today, veg oil drivers collect their waste veg oil in cubies, not buckets. It took 10 years before standardized filling stations began to appear, and even then they did not sprout up on every corner. Drivers had to carry fuel with them if they planned to go a long distance, just like veg oil drivers do today.
The gasoline in the beginning was something like 15-19 cents a gallon. I do not remember how many gallons the Model T held, but it would go a long, long way. Back then, the young people would all get in a car. Somebody would play the ukulele, and we'd all sing as before radio in cars. And our pastime was just to get out and drive all around as long as the gasoline held out. Back then, more of the girls' fathers had cars than the boys did. So the boys would all pitch in and buy the gasoline. Well, my daddy thought it was great that I was always getting somebody to fill up the car with gasoline. And the daddies used that gasoline, too.
The rules for driving in the 1920s were still sketchy.
Well, I assume we had Liza now. I don't remember that. And I really don't remember about the insurance. Back then, as I said, there was no age limit on driving. We were driving a car when we was 12 years old. My girlfriend was 12.
Did you ever let anybody else drive your car besides your dad?
I don't think I did. My brothers was still too young for them to drive it, and Mama never did learn to drive.
Did you let your boyfriends drive your car?
No, they just put gasoline in it. As small as those cars were, believe it or not, there could be four boys with four girls sitting on their lap, and one more couple in the front seat, and then the driver.
11 people.
That was a full car. And as I said, we drive around and sing and just have a good time together.
Did you ever get pulled over for speeding?
There were no such thing back then. No. Back then, there was no cops bothering you.
Long trips in the early days required a driver to know how to take care of their cars themselves. It wasn't until the 1930s that bays for car repairs were added onto the tiny filling stations.
People won't believe it, but back in those days, you carried things you might need with you. We had a kit that had hatches. If you run over a nail, you got a hole in the inner tube. You stop, you pull that tire off. You took that inner tube, let the air out of it. You put on a patch with sticky stuff. I don't remember what all. Anyway, you put a patch on it, and you hand pumped a little old hand pump. I did that many times. By the time I was 16, I was driving cross country.
Were you nervous traveling by yourself all that distance?
Oh, my family was with me. Uh-huh. Mom and Daddy and three brothers and my granddaddy. Daddy would punch me to make me sing so I wouldn't go to sleep driving all night.
What were some of the challenges of driving early cars?
Having a road wide enough to pass another car on, or a horse and buggy. You also had to hand manipulate the windshield wiper. There was a handle about the size of your finger that you had to swing while you're driving to get the mud off, and when it was raining, of course. I also cranked that Ford. You didn't have a self-starter on it. You had a little handle out there in the front of the engine, and you'd crank that thing till your motor started. Took a little strength, but that's how we drove. We drove that all over Mayfield.
Do you miss driving?
The worst thing in my life that's ever happened to me, well, I guess not really, but the way I think, when I was 92 years old, I quit driving. The doctors didn't tell me to. The police didn't tell me to. I had macular degeneration, and I knew that I had to quit driving. And that was one of the hardest things I think I've ever done in my life. And it still just tears me up that I can't get in a car and take off ripping and romping.
Any new idea will take a while to catch on, including veg oil. It took Granny's lifetime to bring the modern automobile to the level of sophistication we know today.
And that was from 2005. And it's really nice to hear my grandmother's voice. She passed away in 2010, 2 weeks short of her 100th birthday. She was trying to get to 113 to best her mother-in-law, who made it to 112, I think. So, oh well, but I still think of her as making it to 100. So, that was our vegetable oil interlude for the moment. Now we have a little bit of Avalon. This is the second half of Lifelines, or this the second third, in which I get to talk about Avalon and you get to call in and correct my facts. Maybe I should say some really, really off-the-wall things so somebody calls in to correct me. I will ask you for explanations to everyday mysteries about island life, give you some news and updates you might not have heard already, and ask you what you've seen around town. Please call the station at 310-510-7469 or email me at seashell@kislavalon.com to share your observations. Okay. This is our Avalon theme music, of course.
The party's over, I'm so tired.
Roxy Music.
Then I see you coming out of nowhere. Much communication in a motion. Without conversation or a notion.
So we just got through another 4th of July, and it was a big, big, big 4th of July because it was right on top of the centennial. And I got to walk through on my way to the studio here because I was helping simulcast the music from the casino, and I got a little I got a couple of sounds from downtown on 4th of July I want to share with you now. Here we go.
This is Cynthia Shelton for KISL Avalon 88.7, and I'm walking along the parade route here on Crescent Avenue in Avalon and interviewing people randomly. So introduce yourself, sir.
Yes, my name is Anthony DeLiva, and I've been coming over here for 40-plus years. And I would say this is probably going to be one of the biggest turnouts that I've seen. I'm looking out here at the bay now, and I see no open moorings. It's wall to wall, but it's a perfect day. I would recommend it to anybody if they get the chance to come and visit Catalina. It's a beautiful spot, magical. So put it on your bucket list.
And we're waiting for the parade to start, and people had their chairs and their towels out this morning by 5:30. And that's when I was walking around with my dog. And I was just amazed at how people are prepared for this event. Did you bring your boat over?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. We were fortunate enough to have enough seniority to stay inside, which is a bonus. So that's even a little more icing on the cake this year.
And what staying inside means for those of you who don't have a boat is staying inside the harbor as opposed to being bounced out to Descanso or Pebbly Beach because there just aren't enough moorings to go around.
We would hope that in the future that the port harbor department or the powers to be would put more moorings in for times like this.
Where on earth would they put them, though, because it's already so elbow to elbow? Can you see it
in
a spot?
If there's a will, there's a way. they could do a few more.
Okay, if they're really shallow boats. Well, thank you very much, and enjoy your day.
All righty. Okay. How about that?
That was Anthony. And then I walked down the street to the El Galleon and heard the Hyperion Dixieland Band. They were really good. The Hyperion Band playing at El Galleon on 4th of July. I don't really understand the Mardi Gras connection. I thought that was in, I don't know, February or March, but they should revisit that in the proper Mardi Gras time. I think that was excellent. The Avalon Harbor is finally much less crowded after a long 4th of July week. Every buoy was taken, as Anthony said, plus side tie raft ups, and the harbor looked a bit like a parking lot from Wednesday to Sunday. After today, the buoy prices do go up a dollar or two as per a vote by the city council. Some folks are griping, but the cost of staying on a boat in this beautiful town is still very affordable. We had our share of crises during the week, starting with a water main break the morning of the 3rd, just as people were finishing up their first cup of coffee. Imagine that. Every toilet in town was shut off as the saltwater pipe dinned flush septic gushed out of the seams of a newly paved section of Catalina and Beacon Streets. The water flooded down to 3rd, salting the undercarriages of many golf carts and carrying tons of silty mud into the downtown area. What a mess. Then Catalina Wi-Fi gave out. Too many people trying to email at the same time. This made sending out the live simulcast of the day-long music concert at the museum tricky as the signal kept cutting out and rebuffering. The next day, cell phones shut down and it was impossible to communicate, short of walking around town trying to track down the people you had to talk to, like 100 years ago, before cell phones. At first, I thought everyone was too busy to get back to me, or that my new cell phone, replacing the one that went swimming last week, was already on the fritz. But no, it was an island-wide blackout of phone service that required us to look up from our texting to actually take in the events and the people around us. The parade didn't exactly start on time, but that's expected around here. The weather was picture-perfect, sun with enough wind to snap the flags smartly. The evening fireworks were reported to be splendid, although I didn't see them. I found a quiet place to hide out with Austin so he wouldn't lose his marbles at the noise as he did for the centennial fireworks. So there you have it. Life on a small island at the mercy of weather, whimsy, faux pas, boo-boos, rate hikes, breakdowns, and breakups. Drama under the island sun, I am reminded, of a song that is fitting for this island, even down to where the buffalo roam. Forgive me. I can't help it. It's Pete Seeger. If he'll go, do it. Oh, I have to click. Ready? Here's the click.
Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam.
Check.
Where the deer and the antelope play.
Well, check, and the antelope are gone.
Where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day.
We're working on the not discouraging. The skies are lovely.
Home, home on the
in the
range,
Avalon.
Where the deer and the antelope play. Where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. How often at night, when the heavens are bright with the light of the glittering stars, I stood there amazed, and I asked as I gazed, does their glory exceed that of ours? Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day.
Okay, that would be Pete Seeger, Home on the Range. And if you're very lucky or you're paying attention, you can hear the lady who plays the bells play Home on the Range on the Avalon Bells. It's something else when you finally recognize the song. Aha. Uh-huh. Before the craziness of the 4th of July and just before the frenzy of the centennial, the Conservancy held their annual plein air auction and dinner. It was an excellent show with over 100 paintings up for bid. The images of familiar locations around the island could not help but bring a smile. More personal mementos of the island could not be had. I think there should be a postcard series made out of the best of them so more people can enjoy the scenes of Avalon and the interior. Perhaps someday someone will think of that. Hint, hint. I managed to catch one of the artists, Brian Stewart, formerly of California, now living in the Midwest, after the auction was concluded. Here's what Brian had to say.
This is Cynthia Shelton for KISL Avalon 88.7 FM. And today I'm at the Catalina Conservancy Art Show with one of the artists. I'm going to let him introduce himself.
My name is Brian Stewart, and I'm from St. Paul, Minnesota. Originally from Pasadena, California, but a Midwesterner now.
How long have you been doing this show?
I've been coming to Catalina painting at plein air events for 23 years now. There's been three different shows that kind of featured plein air painting, and I've been part of those three different shows.
And how long have you been painting in total as a profession?
About 24, 25 years. It was a midlife career change.
So you found the plein air people right at the point where you started painting. That's neat.
Well, plein air was just beginning to experience the resurgence that it has had at that particular time back around 1990. And it's been growing in popularity ever since. And it was actually the resurgence and the rediscovery of it took place right here on Catalina Island.
And what is your medium?
I paint oil on canvas, as I would say the majority of plein air painters do. Others work in watercolor or pastel, but most of them primarily work in oil.
How many paintings did you bring to this show?
I brought 13 paintings to this show.
And one of the things I noticed about your paintings is that you actually included people more often than the other people seem to do with the landscaping. What is it about people that makes you want to include them in the landscape?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, I don't think of myself as a landscape painter. I'm more of what's called a genre or a scene painter. And those are paintings that are scenes from everyday life or activities of people or man-made objects, buildings, things like that. So I do sometimes honor the landscape and try and paint serene, beautiful landscapes, but there are so many artists painting that kind of stuff today that painting genre paintings with people in them is a way to differentiate yourself and stand out. Not to mention, I think it requires some skills that landscape painting doesn't require.
How did you get connected with the Catalina Conservancy show?
Well, it was an evolution. I originally started doing the Plein Air Painters of America show here that used to take place up in the casino ballroom. I did that for a number of years, and then the Society for the Advancement of Plein Air Painting kind of took that over and sponsored the show for a number of years. And then in the last 3 years, it was taken over by the Conservancy as a fundraiser for the Conservancy and to create awareness for Catalina and the Conservancy and its programs.
Well, I can't think of any place more ideal to do plein air painting. What is the most challenging environmental situation that you've experienced while painting here?
Well, I don't know that there's one particular thing that I can think of. Just painting outdoors itself is full of challenges. It's a difficult kind of endeavor. You don't always achieve frameable results. You have to play the yield. You have to turn out a lot of paintings in order to get a few good ones. And that's why, you know, some people are sometimes taken back by the cost of the art, you know, and that's because of that. It's not, it's not that we just go out there and knock out a painting in 3 hours. We may knock out 8 paintings, 3 hours apiece, and throw them all away to get one really good one.
I imagine you also get a lot of gawkers, seeing as how you're downtown a lot of the time, and you're going to have people looking over your shoulder and making comments and asking you questions. Is that true?
That is true, but you become accustomed to it, and I feel personally that your job as a outdoor painter, part of your job is to be an ambassador and spread goodwill and engage the people and be nice to them. So I've just learned to... I've learned that I can work and talk to people if I have the painting well underway, and I try and be nice to it. I always have thought in the back of my mind. There's something that they probably have a great expertise in that I don't know about that I'd like to know something about if the tables were turned. I feel a spiritual connection with Catalina. I grew up in Southern California, and I came over here as a kid before I was ever interested in art. And then when I became a Midwesterner and had a chance to come back here, it reconnected me with California. And I've learned a lot about Catalina since then, and I really enjoy its history and what it has meant to Southern California. It's just a really beautiful, unique spot, and I love visiting it.
I think that's why we all come here. Thank you so much for your time. And we're sitting here in the beautiful country club with the waterfalls in the background and people laughing before the dinner. And you'll be staying for that dinner, I imagine.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
And is this the only time of year you get to come back here?
I usually come out here twice a year, once in March to paint, and then I come back for the show in June.
Do you take photographs as you paint from life to make sure you have reference material?
I do take photographs. I generally do not do paintings from photographs. I use photography as kind of a support medium or a reference to refresh my memory. But most of the note-taking I do, I actually do it through the process of painting.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And that was Brian Stewart, plein air painter, who participated in the Conservancy Art Show this year. In other art news, for several weeks I have seen two heavy white stone statues of headless ostriches, flamingos, migrate around town to different yards where I guess people tried to set them up and then changed their minds. It took a few tries at different addresses before they found a home. I never saw them actually being moved. They just got relocated the way some garden gnomes come and go. It looks like Will Richards, the artist, has adopted one and built a head for it. You should go check that out. Where did they come from? Where are their heads? Got an answer? Call in now with an explanation or a very creative fib, and you can win your very own original limited edition signed copy of Doc Dorks, the first printed issue of my web cartoon about being a liveaboard. If you want to see what the book is about before trying to win one on the air every Monday, go ask Barbara at High Tide Traders on Front Street to see Doc Dorks. You can buy them there or win one now. The KISL studio number is 310-510-7469. And on my wish list of the week for a new business I'd like to see in Avalon, yep, a dog park. Apropos, right? I know the real estate issues are still problematic, and as a dog owner, I am biased. But a properly fenced and volunteer-maintained dog park would go far to socialize island dogs with each other and with people, and reduce the quantities of unpicked-up poo that bad owners leave around town. Recently, a visiting boater let her dog do its business across from the dinghy dock and did not pick up after it. A local standing nearby offered her a doggy bag, and she shrugged and said there was a lot of other dog scat there, as if that excused her. Shameless lack of concern for our shared environment, not guest behavior. And while on that topic, I just want to remind folks who plan on camping on Catalina that you too need to pack out your own poo. No, you can't dig a hole. It goes with you and your porta potty or the human versions of the doggy bag called a wag bag. Don't be gross, people. Enough of that. Is there a business you wish would start up in Avalon? Call 310-510-7469 and tell us, or just email me at cshel@kislavalon.com if you're shy or you get stuck on tongue twisters. Maybe someone will get the entrepreneurial bug and looked into your idea. And, by the way, I am continuing to teach free social dancing classes at the Sand Trap Restaurant, Upper Courtyard, at 7:30 p.m. on Fridays. Right now we're doing swing. If it's really crowded at the restaurant, we may move up the road to the Interpretive Center park area. You don't have to have a partner to show up. You don't have to know anything about dancing. It's a low impact, good exercise, and did I mention free? We are working on swing dance, as I mentioned, so I am queuing up some swing dance songs
for you to practice with, those of you who may be listening who are taking the class. This is Ella Fitzgerald, Solid as a Rock. Now you tell me, is this a triple step? Triple step, back step, triple step.
Solid as a rock. Solid as a rock.
Solid as a Rock, Ella Fitzgerald. And notice that we snuck that Gibraltar thing in there. That is a campground, one of the Bowdoin campsites up here north of Avalon. So I got to tell you what's going on outside the window here. It looks like it's the kids' camp, and these little kids are so cute. They're running around, they're saluting, and then they're doing some sort of jumping jack thing, and then they're saluting again. They're playing a game. Pretty darn cute. If you need a dose of cuteness, come by the park and peek at the kids doing their summer camp. This is by Mir Bistouchain, the Andrew Sisters. It's also a pretty fast swing.
Of all the boys I've known, and I've known some, until I first met you, I was lonesome. And when you came inside, dear, my heart grew light, and this old world seemed new to me. That really fit you. And so I racked my brain, hoping to explain all the things that you do to me. By mere Bistouchain, please let me explain. By
Shane, it's such a no refrain, and yet I should explain. It means I am begging for your hand. I could say bella, bella, even search for Dubai. Each language only helps me tell you how grand you are. I've tried to explain by mere Mr. Shane's look. Kiss me and say that you will understand.
That was by me and Miss Duchesne, the Andrews sister, and I have a remix of something, but I'm going to hold off on it because it's just a little wacky. We still have two falcon chicks to name. These are the babies. I spent part of the day yesterday with them, and they're getting big really fast. These are the two dedicated to Avalon working birds that help keep Avalon skies, piers, and streets clear of seagulls, pigeons, and other wet poopers, to reference the Owls of Gahool, if you happen to have kids and you know that story. From listener Norm in Marina Del Rey, who was here earlier, we have the suggestions Ada, Marilyn, Wrigley, Chicago, and Abalone. And his wife suggested Spearmint and Peppermint when she was here just now, or earlier in the hour. Jill in L.A. suggested Ava and Lonnie. It's okay if they're puns. We're not above puns here. So give us your suggestions, and then we'll figure out some way to name the birds when we have a whole bunch of suggestions. Have you got one? Send it in to me. C-Shell, what's one L? C-S-H-E-L, at KISLAvalon.com. And when Rocky the Master Falconer chooses to, or chooses how to choose to, we will alert the media. Speaking of which, I am officially going to start calling this park where the KSL building sits Media Park. Yes, I know there is an old weapon here, and some people call it Cannon Park or Artillery Park or Gunnery Park or something, but I've also heard it called City Park and Swing Park, even though there are no more swings here, even Zipline Thing Park for the playground equipment that's a little like a mini zipline. So clearly there is some nomenclature confusion. Plus, the building next to the KISL studio was once and will be again the home of the Catalina Islander newspaper, so Media Park is now how I will refer to this area. I invite you to do the same. Make the trend catch on. I'd even make a sign for them. There you go. So now we get to do... Oh, now we get to do... iPod head. And here I'm looking at the soundboard, and there are these little tiny ants. The smallest ants I have ever seen are crawling over the board. Now, if I were a conspiracy theorist, I might say we were being bugged. Clearly, that's not the case. So I'm going to give you this last swing song, which is a little weird, but see what you do with it, those of you who are dancers. And then we'll do iPod head. That's Heart of Glass by the Toners, a swing remix, and it seems like that was more of a boot scoot boogie. But you know what this is? It's for dancing, too.
We are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. The afterworld. A world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun, day or night. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one. Doctor, everything will be all right. Instead of asking how much of your time is left, ask how much of your mind, baby. Because in this life, things are much harder than in the afterworld. This life, you're on your own. And if the elevator tries to break you down,
Prince, what are you up to? This is supposedly the dance version. I just thought it was an extended version. Sounds like he's going a little nutty on the keyboards, though. Don't you think? Is he going to come back to the theme of the song? These little children are now running up to the porch. Ah, this is getting too wild for me. We're going to move. We're going to move on. So I don't know what game these kids are playing out here in the park. And I've got the air conditioning going, forgive me. So I will quickly go back to what we were doing here, to our cue. Something a little less raucous, a little less crazy indeed. Hajira. Joni Mitchell.
vehicle. I'm sitting in some cafe, a defector from these petty wars, the shell shock love away. There's comfort in melancholy when there's no need to explain. It's just as natural as the weather in this moody sky today. And our possessive coupling, so much cannot be expressed. So now I am returning to myself. These things that you and I suppressed, I see something of myself in everyone right at this moment of the world. Snow gathers like bolts of blaze, waltzing on a bridal groove. You know, it never has been easy, whether you do or you do not resign, whether you travel the breadth of extremities or you stick to some straight line. Look, here's a man and a woman sitting on a rock. They're either gonna fight or freeze. Listen, sounds like Benny Goodman floating through the snowy trees. I'm porous with travel fever, but I'm so glad to be on my own. Still, the slightest touch of a stranger sets up a trembling in my bones. But I know no one's gonna show me everything. We come and go unknown, each so deep and so superficial, between the forceps and the stone. Oh. I looked at the granite markers, those tributes to finality, to eternity. Then I looked at myself here, chicken scratching for a piece of immortality. In the church they light the candles, and the wax rolls down like tears. There is the hope and the hopelessness I witnessed all these years. We're only particles of change, I know. We're just orbiting around the sun. But how can I have that point of view when I'm bound and tied to someone? White flags of winter chimneys, wailing truce against the moon. Of a modern bank, from the window of my hotel room. Oh, I'm traveling in some vehicle. I'm sitting in some cafe, a defector from the petty wars, until love sucks me back that way.
That's Hejira, Joni Mitchell. The Spotify thing, it sometimes gets you into some odd live or extended versions you didn't mean to do. Oh, well. I really meant to just dance, because, you know, sitting here for an hour talking makes me want to get up and move around a little, like these kids are doing outside the window. Jumping, jumping, jumping. So much energy. How about David Lee Roth? This is kind of a swing song. Just a gigolo. I ain't got nobody.
I'm just a gigolo, and everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing. Pay for every dance, selling each romance. Ooh, what to say? There will come a day.
You are listening to 88.7 KISL Avalon FM. Just as you glow, I ain't got nobody, and it's dancing in the studio. David Bowie, let's dance.
to the song they're playing on the radio. While color lights up your face.
Seem to have a little tiny bit of a theme going on here, and my boat's kind of too small to dance in. The radio station's not much bigger, but it's much bigger than the boat, actually, so all she wants to do is dance. Don Henley.
And all she wants to do is dance.
What is going on in that studio? Oof. Okay. All the kids are gone. Oh, that's nice. So, you make it easy. James Taylor.
Oh, God's almighty baby. Yes, indeed. You supply the satisfied, and I'll supply the need. I can't help the way I feel, though I know just where it leads. You make it easy, baby. For a man to fall, for a man to fall. Heaven knows that'll love my woman, but we were born to fuss and fight. And I wind up on a barroom stool, buying drinks and keeping tight. You know I ain't never done what's been in my mind tonight. Oh, you make it easy, baby. Yeah, now, yeah, now. For a man to fall, for a man to fall. Thing work out right, but you and me, we'll only see tonight. So maybe better turn me down and walk me out the door. And I'll go home and I'll sleep it off. Just like every time before. You keep on looking good my way, I won't hold out anymore. Oh, make it easy, baby. Yeah, now, now. For a man to fall, for a man. Otherwise, good man to fall. You don't have to make so busy, baby. No, 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 no. For another wise and good man to fall, you don't have to make it so easy. For a man to fall. For a man to fall.
James Taylor singing You Make It Easy, obviously live. And you know who makes it easy to become a member is KISL here at the station. All you have to do is go to the website, KISLAvalon.com. It's easy to join, and it comes with many island discounts and freebies. You can sign up using a credit card. I used PayPal, and it's pretty cool. It allows us to do more stuff, allows us to keep going, pay for things that we need to pay for. Everybody's volunteer here, so it's really just paying for the ongoing sounds that you hear coming out of your radio. So if you like us, become a member. $20. Hey, no big deal. Okay. And I'd also like to say that if you want to be a DJ, if you want to do what I'm doing, you can do that too. You can host your own show. Beginning DJ classes are held here at the Greenhouse in Avalon City Park. Call 424-226-2837 for details. You can also send us sound clips if you have a smartphone and you can use Dropbox and you have Vox, Dropbox with a V. You can make sound clippings and send them in to us if you hear something really cool that you want to share with us. So think about that. You can also participate in the radio, even if you're from overtown. If you love Avalon, you can be part of it. This is Freeze Thaw, Basha, because I like her. iPod head.
Sasha, Freeze Thaw, and when I was listening to her a lot, I also listened to Animal Logic. This is Talking Is Good. Talking Is Good by Animal Logic, and you have been listening to Lifelines, written by me, C. Shelton, a.k.a. the Liveaboard Seashell, at the fabulous KISL Catalina Island radio station, 88.7 on your FM dial. Our theme music is If I Had a Boat by Lyle Lovett. If you like what you've heard here, check out cynxing.com, cynxing.com, for blogs about cruising and the Liveaboard docu-comic series. That's docu as in documentary and comic as in cartoon. Tune in again next Monday from 11:30 to 1:30 for more about living on board and in Avalon. Fair winds on the airwaves, y'all. Just be me in trouble. We go riding through them waters, and we buy a boat, and on the sea we sail. And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony,
boat, and we could all go go out on the ocean, sit me up on my pony on my boat. And now the mystery masked man was smart, he got himself a Tonto, cause Tonto did the dirty work for free. But Tonto, he was smart, and one day said Kemosabe, kiss my ass, I bought a boat, I'm going out to sea. And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride on my boat. And we could all go, I'd go out on the ocean, sit me up on my pony, on my boat. If I were like lightning, I wouldn't need no sneakers. Well, I'd come and go whenever I would please. And I'd scare them by the shade tree and scare them by the light pole, but would not scare my pony on my boat out on the sea. And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean, set me up on my pony, on my boat. Set me up on my pony.